happy holidays, everybody. And the best way to celebrate, get your keister down to Bill Curry Ford. Just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Check out BillCurryFord.com for all the deals. They got a tremendous showroom. They will take good care of you with their concierge service. And the biggest point of all, the end of year sales, obviously, don't last past a couple of more weeks. They got a big inventory that they want to move. And as a result, the deals are outstanding. And the best value, it's all about value. And the best value you can get is right now, Bill Curry Ford.
Pin Chasers, they have their student holiday lane pass, which is just an incredible deal. Students, kindergarten through 12th grade, get 15 games of bowling for less than a dollar per game. Shoes are always free at Pin Chasers. Reload your pass anytime between now and January 7th, and then you'll get another 10 games for just $10, and those games never expire. Every day there is a daily special at Pin Chasers. They have three locations. You can go to their website, see all the daily offers. Dollar Mania every Monday night. Just get to pinchasers.net, reserve a lane, book a holiday party. Pin Chasers, we love them too. Here he is, Mr. Ira Kaufman on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the prince of Pasco County. He is the custodian of Canton.
He's Uncle Ira.
What are you laughing about there, Sage?
How can I be, Steve? How can I be? It's only been 3 hours after a game that I believe the Bucs should have won for one very simple reason. The Texans didn't play particularly well. On the road, you could have kept your hopes alive for a winning season. That is shattered. That's gone. I don't believe they're out of the woods for finishing last in the NFC South. How do you like that, gentlemen? I think there's still a shot at that if they finish 7-9. Steve, you want to interrupt me on that one? Am I wrong?
Well, it's angry, Uncle Ira. But,
yeah, it's angry.
And I didn't think he was going to come out angry there,
no.
Lee. I didn't think I wasn't getting that vibe from your chest.
Five simple words. Four simple words. This defense deserved better. How do you like that? And DeKemper, I'm warning you right now. Don't you dare defend number three. And I don't want to hear how about these receivers rounding out their patterns.
No.
What are you expecting? Chris Carter out there?
Yep.
Are you crazy? You work with what you got. You still got O.J. Howard. You still got Brate. And by the way, you've got a Breshad Perriman who's playing a lot better than any of us thought he would be. And played a hell of a game, Perriman. All of a sudden, the guy's tap dancing on the sidelines. He's supposed to be a speed merchant. Meanwhile, he's Mr. Technique. He's Mr. Subtlety. I got to give Perriman a lot of credit. He's one of the few Bucks that showed up along with Jason Pierre-Paul. What a game he played. What a game. But we're going to get around to number three in a while.
How can you not?
Cameron, you better have your ducks in a row when we do.
Listen to that passion from Mr. Ira Kaufman. Unbelievable. After a full day of work, you are
I just got rained on. You know, I got a wet head. I'm not happy with it. I carried a donut box over me from the stadium over here to one buck.
Well, for those who haven't listened for a while, I'm Steve Isbitz rejoining the podcast.
Welcome
here.
Welcome back, Stevie.
One of the Joes, a Joe Bucks fan. Lee and Ira just nail it. Of course, we all listen every week, twice a week, religiously.
If I'm Uncle Ira, can he be Cousin Stevie? Can he?
I think it might be nephew.
I know,
but
Cousin
okay.
Brucey. Cousin Brucey's still doing stuff from the New York days. I used to listen to him on 77 WABC. Used to do the top 20. He's still on Sirius. Guy's unbelievable. He's 85 years old.
What about Cousin It?
No. You always bring it back to the Adams family.
All right, Ira. Now, everyone can listen to the podcast on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, various places. A very popular podcast presented by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Now, we heard your little intro, Ira, before we started the podcast, but special announcement. Dreams will come true on Thursday for some listeners of this podcast, Ira. You know why?
Of course I want to know.
That's because on Thursday,
December 26th,
fans of the Ira Kaufman podcast can go to Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, and you will have your chance to get on this podcast and ask a question of Ira and talk a little Bucks. Now, we're going to be lining people up.
What's the security situation going into this thing?
I'm glad you asked, because we do have security. General Manager Sean Sullivan has it all taken care of.
I don't want Kay Adams showing up and unescorted over here.
She has her own security, we've been told.
We also have food for people who come down to talk to the Sage. And we'll set it up where people can come on and ask a couple of questions of Ira, but no one's going to get more than 5 minutes. 3-4 minutes, maybe on average.
Keep it low key. Right?
Keep it low key. And we're also going to keep it about the future of the Bucks because the podcast itself is going to air in January. Fan questions, chatting to you about the future.
I'm out of town.
And the Sage might actually ask you a question because that's how you are, Ira. You're like, hey, tell me what you think, big boy.
That's right.
So
that's
that
right.
Kind of thing. So it's going to be fun at Bill Curry Ford in person Thursday, December 26th. Come on down at 11:30. There will be food, and, of course, there will be tremendous deals on Fords.
What a showroom, man. What a showroom.
And it's getting even more impressive. You know, you can get car insurance now at Bill Curry Ford. There's a
Is it a one-stop shop over there, Stevie?
Absolutely. It's fantastic. Amazing things going on there, but we will see everybody Thursday, and you can read more about that on the website.
How's the coffee over there, Steve? You vouching for the coffee? How's the coffee?
I don't drink coffee, Ira. All right. Now, here we go, Ira.
Steve, what do you want to say about this game? You got anything positive to say?
I only care what you have to say, Ira, because I can talk to myself anytime
I want. You're a wise man.
Now, look, Ira, here is the question for you. This is the money question because
I like the money question.
We've already heard you go out on a limb and reverse course on Jameis Winston and all the things you've done with your great proclamations, and you're proud to do it with Roy Cummings on television.
Not too big to say I was wrong, DeKemper. Not too big. Takes a big man to say that. Big man. You should try it sometimes, DeKemper.
So, Ira, here's the question. Here is the question. Is Jameis Winston a better quarterback today than he was a year ago?
I don't think substantively he is. He's still tantalizing. I'll use that word. And don't even start thinking about Kay Adams over there, DeKemper. I see that look.
I didn't see her.
Well, but I said
but I had reports of people that did.
I see your reaction to
that. Yeah, I had people that reported to me that they were stalking her.
Now, Lee, we're all aware. We're all aware after this game of the report that came out this morning, which didn't shock the three of us. And it's basically something that Lee and I have discussed on prior podcasts where we said we don't think there's any great mystery about whether Winston's coming back. So I'm going to weigh in right now, DeKemper. I don't think today is going to change that. I really don't. But I'm going to say this. I ain't giving him a 5-year deal. I'm not doing it. Yeah. I'm not doing it, DeKemper.
I can say this without blowing your cover. You have the best sources of any Bucks reporter, period. Because I know there's some people in this neck of the woods that don't have powerful phone numbers like you do. And I know who you spoke with recently. You had a sit down in their office. So when you came around and said, I think Jameis is coming back, you're getting good vibes from...
It ain't the Buck trainer you're talking about.
Not the guy who hands out the jock straps. And not the towel boys either. You're talking to heavy hitters. Forget the fact that you had a sit-down with a powerful individual. You spoke on the phone for about 10 minutes with another powerful individual at One Buck Palace. You've been talking to the right people, and so... When you came back and you said, you know, I get the vibe that Jameis is going to return.
Lee, I'm going to temper it in this way. Not that this today is going to change that, because you've made that point, and it's an okay point who you're going to get. I don't always go with that because you used that for Donovan Smith, and I said, well, I'm not giving him all that money when I think he's the 14th best left tackle in football. But your argument was who you're going to get, and there wasn't anybody, you know, that jumped out at you. And you like to use the same argument at Winston. But, Lee, I'm going to say this. I said it in my column, and I'm going to say it to you right now. Bruce Arians will never say this in front of a podium. He certainly wasn't going to say it after Saturday's game. In his heart, Bruce Arians thought that Jameis Winston was beyond a game like this. He was beyond it. And he's not. It was a cold slap of reality that he's got a long way to go. And, Lee, here's what's crazy. What was killing him most of the year? The little slant pass over the middle. What killed him today? The out pass to the sideline. That first one was brutal. That's brutal. You can't float that ball, Lee. You cannot float a sideline pass.
Cynthia Freeland, who's a stats geek.
You're quoting Cynthia Freeland?
Well, have you ever seen her?
Well, you used to quote Kay Adams, and now she's been bumped. Does Kay Adams know that she's been bumped?
Yeah, but Kay Adams is not a stat geek. Cynthia Freeland had something at halftime where the next-gen stats, you know,
she's big on analytics, right?
Yeah. Apparently, all of Jameis's problems today were all intermediate passes. He was like 4 of 9, 3 picks, all intermediate. There's a couple things. You said something that really hit a chord with me when you just said it. You said you thought that Aaron thought we were passes. you remember Jameis's second year, I believe it was, and they got clobbered by Denver. This was a similar kind of game. And Cutter, Dirk Cutter, then the coach, stood at the podium after the game and muttered in frustration, I thought we were past this.
And that was year two.
That was year
this
two.
This is year five.
And when you said Arians is thinking that, I immediately thought of that moment after the Broncos game when Cutter sat at the podium. And it was a matter of frustration. He wasn't answering anybody. He's like, I thought we were past this. Like, whoa.
Steve, what else can we think except this is what you're going to get? You're going to get the good and you're going to get the bad, and you can't stamp out the bad at this point. And he's had a full year under Arians, and he's still throwing four picks.
Well, then it begs the philosophical question, right? So, well, let me switch it to Lee. Lee, do you think Jameis is a better quarterback now than he was a year ago?
I can't answer that. I'm not really sure. If someone is hung up on picks, which I am not, then no, hell no. If someone is hung up on yards production, then of course he is. Overall, I don't know.
I'm going to answer it this way.
Maybe not.
Put this in your bong and smoke it, Lee.
I can't smoke anything. I have asthma.
Steve, I don't need Cynthia Freeland, and I don't need ESPN's 40-man stat crew that delves into the catacombs and comes up with this crazy stuff, because I can tell you this. At the end of Saturday's game, when Winston walked off the field and got in his car, he had 10 more picks in his pocket than any other quarterback in this freaking league. 10 more. 10 more than Phillip Rivers. 10. And most of this league isn't within half of his 28 picks.
Well, it's extraordinary, Ira. I just, philosophically, again, big picture, right? This is what your podcast is about.
You love that big picture.
The deep
picture.
Well, we're going to get into plenty
deep
of
deep dive.
We're going to get into plenty of nitty gritty about this game, Ira, because I have a very important question. Ira, here's the thing. Big picture, Jameis is nobody can say he's better under Bruce Arians, Tom Moore, Clyde Christensen, Byron Leftwich, and two Pro Bowl receivers. It's hard to really make any case that he's improved overall as a quarterback. His highs are higher, his lows appear lower. So I don't know what we really have, and it becomes very strange to build a team around something you know is just very inconsistent, because teams you try to build around consistency, and I don't know what the fix is. You know, Lee asked Arians about the NFL Network report that Jameis is definitely coming back. Arians told Lee, not so, we didn't make any decisions yet. Not
same
true.
Answer he gave me from 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Right. So I don't know what they do, but right now, Ira, do you think the Glazers are prepared at all to give Jameis more than the franchise tag? Or would they even consider multi-year when they know the guy's inconsistent? Do you think that they're interested in gaining and riding him out, or that they just want to play 1 year at a time right now?
I think the smart money is bring them back for one more year.
Franchise?
If you have to. If he won't agree to a one-year incentive-laden deal. And I'm not saying don't pay him for that 1 year. You got to pay him. But you got that Shaq Barrett thing hanging over your head, like the sword of Damocles. Now,
you and Mo Howard.
Now, he was very quiet today. I didn't even notice Barrett. I'm sure you didn't either.
He got some pressures.
You know,
but
JP was the man.
Barrett played a good game. He, Jeremy Tunsil, who was traded to Houston.
Yeah, solid player.
And he's a Pro Bowler this year. He clearly had fits with Barrett, and he's a good football player. JPP kicked ass, but so you don't.
Oh, I want to mention one more thing about Winston's non-performance on Saturday. I'm not even going to, credit it as a performance. The protection was very good. Very good. I know he had three sacks. Okay, he had three sacks. Watson got sacked five times. I thought on the predominant percentage of the pass plays, and by the way, Byron Leftwich, horrible. Horrible Saturday.
Explain. Go into detail.
I'll explain. 51 pass attempts. He threw 48 balls and got sacked three times. I believe, Steve, 72 snaps, if my math is correct. That's 21 rushing plays. Unacceptable, Steven.
No, that is not acceptable.
That's not acceptable.
Your comment is not acceptable.
What are you talking about?
I know where he's going. I agree with him.
How the heck are you going to pin it on the offensive coordinator when the quarterback throws two picks in the first two possessions.
That tells you he's not gonna, he's having a bad day. He's
down,
help him out.
You're down 10-0. You got no running game. Here's your answer, Ira. I got your answer. Third Buccaneers possession. It's 3rd and 3 at the Houston 29. What do? They run Peyton Barber over left guard for 1 yard. 4th and 2 on the Houston 28. What do? They pitch it out to Peyton Barber to run wide, and he gets the first down, but it's called back because the brand new wide receiver out there is called for holding.
He got the first down.
It didn't count. The guy was grabbing his jersey. So that blew up. They kick a field goal, which gets blocked. The offensive coordinator tried to run the ball, and it didn't work. They got no running game. There's no other way around it. Jameis dug the hole.
Isbits, this is why it's the Ira Kaufman podcast and not the Isbits podcast. If you read my column in there, I take a deeper dive, Isbits, and I show that the pass-run ratio was even worse in the second half when it was 17-17. So, therefore, I say Leftwich, bad job. And I saw a 49-yard run by Ronald Jones in the mix. Did I miss that, Lee? Or am I making that up? Did I see it? I saw it.
First time in 15 freaking games.
Ira,
hallelujah.
Winston was having a bad game. Help him out.
Okay, Ira, I'm in Steve's boat, and here we go.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Well, this is why. Arians, ever since freaking July, all he did, bang drum, we got good running backs, we've got good running backs, we've got good running backs. Remember when, what's his face down in Sarasota? Not Ozzy, a sports junkie, but the guy's a Sickles teacher. The former Division II football guy.
Well, better not Leo, be Coach Haggerty.
Yeah, Leo Haggerty. Leo Haggerty asked him about his subpar running backs, and Arians flipped out. That's the only time he's ever gotten hacked off. Ever since then.
I'm still waiting for you to make a point.
I'm making the point. He's brainwashed himself into thinking he has a running attack. Now, today, at the podium, I was down there at the podium after he answered my question. He said, we had so many passes off the fingertips that would have went for touchdowns. That's the difference between throwing in a dome and throwing in a windy field.
Why are you throwing 51 times on a windy field?
Because he's got shit for running backs. That's why.
Winston was off the whole game. Steve, he missed two wide open receivers.
He had no option.
I got a question.
There was no option.
You covered how many games in the Meadowlands back starting
too
in the 70s?
Too many.
You know how windy it was in that old stadium? Every single week.
So you tell Phil Simms to throw 28 balls and you let Lawrence Taylor run wild and you win the game.
The Bucs running backs tandem sucks. Everybody knows it. The stats bear it out. Here's the thing.
Today you didn't have Godwin and Evans, gentlemen.
You have no running back, period.
Can I get that point across? You didn't have your top two receivers. Wouldn't that lend to a more robust running game?
No. But you had a quarterback who was on the cusp of throwing over 5,000 yards. Yeah, he had a shitty game.
Will you get over that 5,000 yards thing? I told you Matt Schaub led the league in yardage.
And good.
That buried that argument.
Good. I would take Matt Schaub over three quarters of the freaking quarterbacks this chicken spit franchise has had. Now listen to me.
Help me out over here.
If you were in Las Vegas, yeah, Jameis had a crap first quarter, no doubt about it. He came back. Who are you going to bank on to have a decent second half? A guy who's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, or garbage running backs that cannot do anything and haven't proven to do anything?
He wasn't on. He was never on.
This just in, Ira. Peyton Barber's never on.
My appearance on this podcast is bad for everyone's blood pressure.
By the way, I wrote this in a story after the game, and I'm saying it publicly on your podcast, Ira. If the Buccaneers continue to claim they've got a running attack at their beck and call, I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You call me, you text me, I will sit down with you in a film session. You please show me off the record. I'll welcome it. Show me where you have a running attack.
They're not going to claim it because the tandem, there will not be a tandem of Barber and Jones in 2020. Will not be the tandem.
Say it again.
That will not be the tandem in 2020.
Is that your New Year's resolution?
Well, Barber's a free agent. The Bucs are in no rush to bring him back. We'll see about Jones. They're going to bring in another running back, and maybe that'll make you happy.
I hope so.
First of all,
I'm all about production.
Let me say right here, I hope they bring Peyton Barber back. I hope he comes back as the number 3 running back.
Why? Is he a change of pace, third down receiving type?
No. No, but he knows the offense. He can do some good things.
Okay? Such as?
And I think he's better in the passing game than they let on. Yeah. We saw some of that last year. Plus, Barber used to be an excellent special teams player when they let him play special teams. And I don't think he's a problem to have as a backup.
Right.
I think he's a legitimate backup, pure backup NFL running back. So I got no problem with him coming back. But it's a joke out there. Ronald Jones.
I'm not defending how well or poorly they run the ball. I'm the first guy to say they haven't run the ball well in 4 years.
Ronald Jones had a wonderful run today. I was happy. His first breakthrough run of
Same
his career.
With me.
And it was a damn good one. But I think the rest of his carries were like 12 for 26 yards.
Yeah, one run in 15 games.
It's
I
bad.
I still think it chews up clock. It keeps your defense fresh.
If they're productive, you're absolutely right. If they're productive, they're not productive. Why go to the well when, you know, for example, why give the ball to someone who the best they can do is going to maybe run for 3 yards?
All right, I'm going to wrap up this part of this podcast very simply.
Uh-oh.
I'd rather have a 2-yard run than a 20-yard interception return.
Then a pick six.
That's a pretty good way to wrap it up, right?
There you go, Ira. Look, I mentioned that 4th and 2. That was the third possession of the game. There were twice in the second half. They failed on 3rd and short. It's a problem.
It's
so
a problem.
I can't blame Leftwich.
And Lee and I, you know,
for passing too much.
Steve, we talked about, you know, the Jacksonville game, big lead at half. Last week, Detroit, big lead at the half. That's when you run the ball, they can't do it.
Yeah.
So we're all in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Running right. game's not any
what
good.
What do you think of this, Ira? And it seems like maybe I'm mistaken when I say this. It seems like a lot of people are overlooking this. And as awful as Jameis was today, you know, he had a couple good drives, but awful otherwise. No running attack. Yet you could say these wonderful tight ends, and I've been beating a drum for them all year long. The tight ends were finally, a big part of this offense. I've been begging and screaming about that for all season, and they literally dropped the ball.
It's probably the biggest play of the game, Cameron Brate's drop. I was shocked because you don't expect him to drop that
No,
ball.
You don't expect him to drop
O.J. Howard had a bad drop.
O.J. had a bad play. Look, O.J. Howard, I am totally down on O.J. Howard.
So am I.
He does not like contact. Go, you watch the games, he does not embrace contact. There are very few big, physical, nasty tight ends in this league who don't love contact. Yeah. O.J. Howard doesn't love contact.
He's an athletic marvel, and I'm not sure he's an outstanding football player.
You know, that's a good way of putting it. He's an athletic marvel, maybe not a football player.
So maybe they trade him this offseason? Maybe Arians has had enough because he's got value. I don't know. But they haven't figured it out, and they need a running back more than they need O.J. Howard right now.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Today was a day they could use 7 for 120 from O.J. Howard. They
no
didn't
kidding.
Get it. They didn't get it.
All right. Fun question, because every time I listen to you and Lee, it drives me freaking bananas. I just want to throw stuff against the wall.
About the run game?
No.
Or the defense?
No. What drives me nuts is that Ira continues to say that this is not without a playoffs, this is not a successful season where we can't whatever. And we argued about this all spring long. I told you 100 times, if the Bucks go 7-9, to me, they've taken a big step. A lot of good things have happened.
Uh-oh.
And that was acceptable to me. And I viewed them as a 7-win team. This is when Vegas was at 6.5.
Ira's antenna is starting to raise.
This is
that?
When the Bucks were at 6.5 in Vegas. You guys were leaning 6. I told you,
I'm thinking about banning you from future podcasts with a line like that.
Well, you do have the authority to do that, Ira.
Continue.
So my point was, I think if this team wins 7, to me, they've taken a big step, and I'm okay with it, because I never thought that somehow this team, with all these rookies and an inconsistent quarterback and all their stuff and a first-year coach, was going to do more than just improve a little and get to 7-9, 8-8 maximum.
I think it's a good season. Bruce Arians' expectation was 7-9?
I care about normal expectations. I don't know. I don't know what Arians said behind closed doors. I think he said, we can fix Jameis, and Mr. Glazers, we can fix Jameis. And we can get a lot better, and we can get toward a march in the right direction. I don't think Arians is dumb enough to say this is a playoff team, Mr. Glazer.
DeKemper, do I have the right to respond to Mr. Isbitz as far as you're concerned?
It's your podcast.
Here we go.
It's your podcast. What's what I'm looking for? Your Majesty.
Yeah, thank you. Here is a team with the best wide receiving tandem in football, and I don't know who's number two, but whoever's number two is far below number one, which is the Bucks with Godwin and Evans.
Yeah.
Nobody close. That's number one. Number two, They got the NFL sack leader. Nobody thought they would, but they got him.
Yeah.
Jason Pierre-Paul's had a solid season. Sue's been solid. Devin White's come on strong. Levante David's been very good, all playing at a Pro Bowl level. I'll throw this in there at the fear of invoking the wrath of Buck fans. Yes, they were healthy. You heard me.
Yeah.
Healthy for about 12 or 13 games. That's a lot more than other teams in this league can say. Go ask Carolina and go ask Atlanta about
help. Who's giving you hell about jinxing?
Well, they said I jinxed them. They said I jinxed them.
Who? Javier?
Ozzy and Javier and all points in between. So this guy's happy with 7-9. I mean, you know, what do you root for, a baseball team that wins 62 games? I mean, well, what's going on here? I got 12 years without a playoff game.
I'm not happy with that, but I didn't expect miracles in this first year. You guys are dancing.
I got a two-time coach of the year coaching this team. People in the building, the marketing, the whole thing. We got Arians. We got Arians. We got Bowles. And now we're 7-9 and we're doing cartwheels over it. Help me out over here, DeKemper. Is this a successful season?
A playoffs is a successful season, but this, you can see advancement, which is good. You can see advancement. You can see it. You can see a team starting to gel here. You really can't. Defense. They got a defense.
How good was that defense today, Ira?
Fantastic.
So that's a huge step in the right direction. That's a huge step in the right direction.
How about Jameis' direction?
They got a kick.
Two steps back.
They got a kicker. The defense looks fixed. And
take it easy. I mean, they played one very good game. Take it easy.
You don't think the defense is playing well?
Take it easy. They gave up like 35 points to Indianapolis a couple weeks ago. Let's go. Let's not go nuts here.
On the backs of how many Jameis turnovers against Indianapolis?
They gave up, they placed Jacoby Brissett without T.Y. Hilton and gave up 35 points. Let's not go crazy.
Nobody's going crazy.
Right.
I'm telling you that.
You know who I like? Jamel Dean. I'm starting to really like that guy.
Yeah.
I think he's a keeper.
Well, you know what? The hidden thing is about the secondary. A lot of people, they point, and I can understand why they do it, they point to Hargraves. Oh, Hargraves got thrown off the team, and ever since then, boom. You know, why did you stick with Hargraves? Well, I think the one reason why they did stick with Hargraves, they were not confident those rookies were ready to play. And I think one reason they got rid of Hargraves, obviously we know why, because he was loafing. I don't get the impression the Bucks thought they were had the luxury of getting rid of him until those rookies were ready. And once those rookies they thought were ready, then they said, okay, we can afford to get rid of him. And so, but the rookies, Dell or Dean, and
Bunting.
Say what you will about Bunting, son of a gun makes plays. Son of a gun makes plays. Carlton Davis, look at the job he did. I know he's not a rookie. He's second-year player. Look at the job he did on arguably the best wide receiver in the league.
Houston's offense did nothing today. They did nothing.
They made,
and it's a pretty good offense.
Look, they made Deshaun Watson look very average.
And Hyde's a pretty good
sacked
back.
Sacked him five times.
Yes.
They chased him around. They smacked him around a little bit. Not big yardage.
Hopkins, nothing.
No running game for the Texans.
The one of the top writers in America, McLean, covers Houston. He was lauding the Bucs defense. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter. He was lauding the Bucs defense.
Absolutely.
Hopkins, 5 catches, 23 yards. Yeah. Come on. This is the guy's probably a Hall of Famer.
Meanwhile, Houston walks out of the building having
with
wrapped up the AFC South.
Yeah, they'll send Christmas cards to Jameis, and that's how it'll go.
Vernon Hargraves.
Made a
big tackle on Ronald Jones.
But he didn't get a pick. He didn't get a pick.
No, he didn't get a pick, but he made the tackle of the game.
Nobody makes a one tackle worth more than Vernon Hargraves.
Could you believe that first pass of the game? Could you believe that sideline, that left sideline
pass? Of course I could believe it. We see it all the time.
There's no zip on the ball, Stevie. Where's the zip?
Now, is that because of his hand? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's not because of his hand. Look at how many amazing throws the guy's made in the last 3 weeks. I mean, it's bizarre. All right, now,
they also dropped the pick. Am I right?
Two.
Right, Nate Harris?
Two.
Ooh, two. Trying to give the benefit of the doubt.
I don't like to play the drop picks game because every quarterback has them. It happens all the time. But the decisions on those drop picks, which I believe were both in the red zone.
One was to Howard. He was double teamed.
Bad decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was double teamed.
Bad decisions. All right, Ira, since you are almost as old as history itself, I wanted to throw you this.
No comeback for that, Ira? You're clapping like a seal here.
Call me Methuselah.
All right, Ira, a little perspective, right? Because you are the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the wise
man. I even
man.
Got Brooks calling me sage. That's a hell of an accomplishment. Even Brooks on the Identity Tampa 2 calling me the sage.
All right, Ira.
The last hurdle to fall, my wife. That's never going to happen.
She doesn't like that, does she?
No, she don't like it at all.
Your son bought you the shirt with sage on it, right?
he dropped the E and called me the SAG on the shirt. I didn't like that. All right, go ahead, Stevie.
All right, Aaron. Jameis now has 28 interceptions.
That's right, 28.
28. He could ring the 30 bell. Now, if he rings the 30 bell, he's the first to do it. No one's done it in 20 years. Brett Favre threw 29 in 2005.
And it was a lot harder to pass in those days. Guys were not completing
before the rule
70%
change,
of their throws back then.
After the rule change, Eli Manning threw 27 picks in 2013. And what's interesting about
that... rule change? Enlighten me.
Just all these things to help quarterbacks and the ticky-tack pass interference calls.
I thought that started with the Mel Blount rule.
Well, it's accentuated now.
Now, they've had a lot of subtleties, and I think 3 years ago there were significant changes when Mahomes came in.
I want him to go back to where you could smack the receiver around past 5 yards.
Like Night Train Lane?
Go back to that. Let Jack Tatum rough him up a little.
All right, Ira, now here's what makes this.
Put a little fear in these guys.
Here's where we need your wisdom to interpret this, okay? And this is fascinating to me anyway. So Eli Manning throws 27 picks in 2013, and the Giants had the 28th ranked offense in points scored and yards, and they went 7-9. Brett Favre throws 29 picks in 2005, and the Packers ranked 22nd in scoring and 18th in yards. So that's subpar offense with 29 picks. Now Jameis throws 28.
What was Green Bay's record?
4-12. Jameis throws 28 picks, and the offense is scoring a ton of points and moves the ball at top five in the league.
That is exactly why I told the Kemper a couple weeks ago I've changed my mind about Winston.
Because of production?
Because they're scoring 30 points
but
a game.
This is
now,
history.
They didn't do it today.
This is history. We're never going to find a quarterback like this. This is history right here.
You might be right.
This is the weirdest season ever. So I ask you, Ira.
And a lot of Bucks fans think Winston should be history. How do you like that, the Kemper?
I don't.
He's very polarizing. You know that.
I know, but you know, I also saw Joshua Cowan. I also saw Byron Leftwich. I also saw Brian Greasy, son of Bob. I've seen some wretched quarterbacks.
But we're saying it in the wake of a terrible game. You know, today was terrible.
I asked you the question about Jameis. Has he improved? And you said you can't say that. Lee's not sure. Okay, so that's the deal. That's fine.
Career high for interceptions. I can't say it.
So Arians now has to look for how do I improve Jameis. Now, do you think one of the ways to improve Jameis, do you think that the Bucs will look to draft a quarterback, maybe a guy, let's just say third round, fourth round, that they think has real potential, but, you know, obviously is a backup with strong potential to push Jameis as maybe another way to get him even better? Maybe they feel he needs a little competition.
No. Yeah, as usual, way off base, Isbits, way off base. You're not even in the same county as me on this.
I'm just asking a question. I'm not.
You can ask all you want, but I'm about to tell DeKemper my blueprint for improving this football team and helping Winston in 2020, because I still think he's going to be here.
Blueprint alert.
And here we go. Better running game. Throw less passes. Stop letting them throw 45 balls. It ain't working.
Well,
you're losing football games.
Well, let's back up a second.
Let them throw 33 balls. And viva la différence.
Well, let's back up a second.
Did you hear me try to speak French over there, Steve? That's the last time I'm going to do that.
All right, Ira. Now, you gave some love to Jason Pierre-Paul, 3 sacks.
And 3 tackles for loss.
I think it's significant because JPP had got lost in the shuffle last year, but his last 4 games really weren't very good. He had 12 sacks. We're all happy. He's a warrior. But he's closing much stronger now this year. And the guy somehow came back, and now he's a free agent. Did the Bucs kind of drop the ball, you think, by not having him locked up or figuring out a way to get him back next year? Because you just know, at JPP's age, I don't care how much he loves it here, this is probably his last NFL contract, and everybody likes money. I can't imagine JPP's just going to stick around for less money.
I think it's incumbent to bring him back. I'm not saying break the bank necessarily. He's got intangible value in the locker room. They don't have a lot of veteran leadership up front. Sue, I don't think, is a natural leader.
No.
Not vocal.
Not leader whatsoever.
He's playing his butt off, Lee.
Yeah.
He was great today.
Sue's a mercenary. He'll play his rear end off, but he wants money.
And he's had a good season. But I don't think he's nearly as valuable bringing him back as JPP is. And I think Barrett's production could go down markedly if JPP's not around.
I agree on the last 2 points, that Sue is not as valuable as JPP, and without JPP, Barrett goes south. But I want to pick up something you said a bit earlier. You were saying to improve this offense, they need a running game, they need to pass less. Ira, you're talking about how productive this offense is. You want it to be less productive?
It's productive, but they're minus 11 on the turnover chart, and it's killing them.
The turnovers, I've always said this, the turnovers, you have a possibility, and I would think they're easier to curb than it would be to gain on the other end, which would be the production on the passing. I'm not saying don't get a running game.
It's still the first stat every quarterback in the league talks about. First. Everyone.
You know, this is the best analogy I can come up with what picks mean to me. Personally, I can't stand strikeouts in baseball. And I hate the way baseball's been hijacked by the stat geeks. It's much less appealing sport, and I'm about done with it because I'm tired of friggin' launch angles and spin axis and all this made-up BS. I watch sports for entertainment. If you're going to take 5 hours and play beer league softball, I want nothing to do with that. If you had a home run hitter, a guy who hits 50 home runs, 120 RBIs, scores, I don't know, 80 runs a year, you're not going to bitch if he has 200 strikeouts.
No.
Because he produces.
No,
that, to me, is what interceptions are. If you have a lot of interceptions, but you're not producing, you're a turd in my eyes. And I don't like picks. I don't like picks, but James is producing. And I always use that analogy, that Todd Well analogy, where Whitey Herzog said, guys, we can teach a guy control. We can't teach a guy how to throw 95.
But Lee, six pick sixes are crushing.
I'm not saying they're good, but I put more weight on the positive than the negative. And so many people, they put all the weight on the negative and they don't look at the positive. I'm like, the positive you can't replace. The negative you may be able to replace.
Well, I love the fact that they were scoring 30 points and the team was winning. That's what caused me to do a flip-flop on Winston. And I'm not going to flip back. I think I'd still bring him back in 2020. And Steve, about your point, I think it's a very good idea to draft a quarterback in round 3. Not to push Winston in 2020, but I need a backup plan to Winston because if he goes south in 2020, I'm yanking him.
Ira, that's called pushing him. What are you talking about?
You just said you can't
flip-flop.
Not to take his job in training camp. That's not going to happen. You don't take his job in training camp. It's Winston's job.
You don't take his job in training camp because he's a starting quarterback. But once everything gets going, you have to run the team in a logical way. So if this kid's good, let him push Jameis. And I mean, you just said you don't want him.
Well, I thought you meant push him for a starting job in day one. Well, I don't agree with that.
Well, look.
Because Winston could go south in that case. And
your philosophy is if you're going to do that, just get rid of him.
You know, I don't mind drafting a quarterback in round 3, if that's what you're saying. I don't mind that.
All right, well,
I think it would be smart.
To me, you're dancing, Sage.
But I'm not dancing. It's got to be a guy that Arians is all in on.
You're not a tango guy?
If they draft a guy late in the third round, let's say they trade up and they get a guy last pick of the third round. Okay?
I don't want an open competition in training camp for the quarterback job. I don't want that.
That's fine, but the fans are going to, if the guy's any good in preseason.
They're going to howl.
Any good. They're going to start howling, and let's say we establish that Jameis is going to throw 20 picks next year instead of 30. There's still going to be some bad games in there, and the fans are going to go crazy.
I'll take the 20.
All right.
By the way, there's a gentleman we know. His name's Matt Sin. He used to be a producer, TV producer at Channel 10 locally.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
And he's an assistant news director up at, a ABC affiliate in Milwaukee. He texts me at halftime. He's a hardcore Bucks fan. I can't take this anymore. Because I can't take the roller coaster anywhere. And I think that's why a lot of fans don't like James. They don't like the roller coaster. They see the entertainment, but they just can't handle the ups and downs.
Well, losing, I mean, a lot of fans, losing is not entertainment. So it's fun on the surface, but losing, that's not entertaining if you live and die with the team.
I'll tell you what made a difference for me today.
It's exciting.
They didn't score 30 points. They scored 20 points. That's a big difference. You lose when you score 30. I'll give Winston a little benefit of the doubt. You lose when you score 20 and the other team doesn't even play well, I got a problem with you.
So, Ira, you want JPP back. You want to pay him. He's going to want $10 million.
Yeah, he's going to want $10 million.
Okay, so you want Shaq Barrett. He's going to want $16, $17 million. You're paying everybody. Ira, you got the franchise tag on Winston. There's 27.
They got money.
Perriman?
They got money.
Perriman?
He ain't getting no $16 million.
But Perriman, you want him back.
He takes $1.50 and he's happy. and you bring them back.
All right, Ira, is it fair for...
They got money.
I know they got flexibility. But once you start signing everybody, then you don't have money. So it becomes a
there's some expiring.
It's
contracts.
A puzzle. It's a puzzle piece. They got to fit this all together.
Bo Allen.
Now I've wanted to ask you this.
How do you spell that, DeKemper? Can you spell that?
I've wanted to ask you this question for a while because it drives me bananas, as most of the things you say do. Sage, you're running DeMar Dotson out of town. Your good friend. You keep every other podcast. You're saying
I'm running him out as a starter. I wouldn't
why?
Mind.
He's durable.
He's a poor run blocker. Okay,
but he gives Jameis time.
He's a poor run blocker.
So what do you want him in there?
As a swing guy at a less salary? I keep him.
Dirk Cutter used to call DeMar Dotson top 5, top 7 pass blocking right tackle in the NFL.
I don't know if he'd still say that in 2019.
Well, what's wrong with the guy? You're going to get rid of a guy who is a good pass blocker.
I just told you I want a better running game.
Durable.
Bingo. I want a better running game.
You think the Bucs need
a guy who's good at both?
So you think the Bucs need
I aim high.
You think the Bucs need a right tackle and a running back? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What else do they need? What else do they got to go?
You can get a right tackle in the draft.
Can
you? I mean, in free agency, you can get a right tackle. Can't get a left tackle, but you can get a right tackle. I've listened to DeKemper say this for too many years, and I've grown tired of it. If you draft an offensive lineman, it takes 7 years to develop the guy.
I never said seven.
Well, so why are people drafting him? Why are they getting drafted every
year?
Well,
I agree with what Lee said. Lee's basically has said many times. Arian said this, I believe.
You never heard of a rookie offensive lineman starting day one?
All Lee's saying is he doesn't think Arians is lying. Lee never said, I wouldn't draft him, a good right tackle. He just said, I don't think Arians will. But I think, I'm going to put it out there as Switzerland here, I think that maybe Arians' philosophy has changed because, maybe even slightly, because look at what Cap has done. Very late third-round pick. Second year. First year, he's really gotten a chance. He's been just fine.
And we don't talk about him. That's good.
And we talked about him when he played through a broken arm and when he came back in a hurry, and he's obviously on a solid line. So maybe Arians thinks, well, hey, we get, you know, maybe.
Wait, they got the number one pass game in the league. Number one. Well, can you imagine how good this offense was if they could play a little complementary offense between the run game and the passing game?
Time out.
Here we go.
Time out. First, you're talking about these horrid interceptions. Now you're saying they got the best pass game in the league. Which is it?
Well, in terms of yards, which you love. In terms of yards.
All right, Ira. Devin White. You've seen 15 games now. You've seen the highs, the lows. I'm not sure.
DeKemper has been humbled. DeKemper's been humbled on that.
I'm not sure he's did much today. Devin White, have to go back and look at it.
He almost had a scoop and score.
Okay. He picked the bouncing ball up. Ira could do that. I've seen Ira on the tennis court.
I believe David made the strip. Another great play by David.
Devin White, give me a grade on his season so far here, Ira. Devin White.
B minus.
Is that good enough for the number 5 overall pick?
Probably not. But I don't think it's going to turn out to be a bad pick. I think next year he'll be a B plus.
Is he hurt? Ever since he got sick, he's that must have been one hell of a flu.
I think that early injury really set him back.
Oh, it did. I agree.
Set him back. But he had a 4 or 5 game stretch where you noticed him every week. I think he's going to be a good player, Steve. I don't think he's going to be a bad number 5 pick overall. Now, and I'm not saying Josh Allen's is a bad football player, because he's not.
All right, Iris, since you've been allowing me to pepper you with team-building questions, would you be okay with me having a nervous breakdown if Bruce Arians does not go out and sign a veteran cornerback in free agency? Because I will lose control of myself.
I'm with you on that one. And you know it pains me to agree with you on anything, is, but even if the sky is blue or it's raining out, I don't want to agree with you. They need a veteran cornerback.
Do they?
Yes, I think they do.
I'm not trying to be an ass here, but
Kevin Ross can say all he wants to these cornerbacks, but Kevin Ross ain't played in this league for 20 years, and they need a guy, preferably, that's been to a Super Bowl, maybe even got a ring, and can reinforce what the coaches are saying. I'm with Isbitz on this one.
You were just talking about Jamel Dean. You like him.
I do.
Carlton Davis shut down DeAndre Hopkins today. We were just talking about Sean Murphy bunting makes plays.
Let's not go crazy about bunting.
He makes plays. I'm just saying, you know, he's not a steady player yet, but he makes plays. So where's the need for the veteran?
Maybe in the slot.
Okay. Okay. Now, if you say safety,
I want a veteran presence, a veteran voice.
If you say safety, I'm all in. I'm all in because I'm not sold yet on Edwards. Jordan Whitehead, I love the way he hits, but I don't know how good of a coverage guy he is.
What are we to make of Justin Evans? What is going on with that guy?
Gone.
I'm going to call a safety timeout here. I'm going to throw the challenge flag. Ira, you did your all-decade team. You put Chris Conte as an all-decade safety?
We'll get to that.
What happened? We'll get to that.
Brilliant in terms of generating response.
Brilliant move.
I got a lot about that.
Explain yourself.
Conte had a knack for making some plays. You remember that pick in Kansas City? What? It was one play.
He beats his Chiefs. He beats his Chiefs and he's all decade.
I actually got a complaint from Javier saying I left Keith Tandy off the team. Do we need to say anything more about how bad the Bucs all decade team is when he's complaining about Keith Tandy?
Chris Conte wasn't even all decade. Conte
was a starter like 4 or 5 years. The guy was out there. He was playing games.
Conte was not close to your worst selection.
Who'd you want? Keith Tandy? Come on now.
Well, Sean Jones?
He was a loafer. Sean Loaf Jones. All right, Chris Conte.
I made some outstanding, astute picks.
What about Cody Grimm?
You still haven't told me who should be picked ahead of Conte.
All right, I'll tell you.
Give me a name.
Here's what I would have done. First of all.
You would have picked three corners and one safety. That's your way of getting around it.
If I had one game to pick, would I want Mark Barron out there or Chris Conte? Oh. I would have taken Barron for
what
one
was
game.
Mark Barron doing a Buck uniform? He didn't do anything. He didn't get himself run out of town.
Well, that was my lovey. Thank you very much.
What did Chris Conte do in a Bucks uniform?
He started for 5 years. That's what he did. You guys personally ran this guy out of town.
I wasn't anti-Conte.
No, I'm talking about Barron. Oh. You couldn't stand Barron.
No, he was good against run. He was horrible against
now,
the pass.
Now, all of a sudden, you got him like Ronnie Lott over here.
Well, and if I was really choosing, I would have made Rondé Barber my safety and my corner.
That's cheating.
I think
he only played safety 1 year. Well, I'm not doing
Chris
that.
Chris Conte, what he made half.
I got too much pride to do that. You don't like Chris Conte. Let's get to the bottom of it.
All-decade Buccaneer. I would have put Deshaun Goldson ahead of him.
Oh, Jesus. Come on, he was awful as a Buccaneer. He was good with that. He was good. The Deshaun Goldson show was pretty good because it sounded like some guy from San Francisco in the 70s smoking a joint and while he's doing a show. Did Deshaun Goldson make a play in a Buck uniform, to your knowledge, Mr. DeKemper?
Yeah, a bunch of personal fouls for hitting.
he still thought it was, he was with the 49ers in the old days of the rules.
Armas. Yeah. Well, that wasn't even close
right,
to yours.
Let me hear your. Who do you like? LeGarrette Blount bothered you?
No.
There's nothing to argue about. Those are the picks. The sage has spoken. Maybe you didn't like Winston being the quarterback, DeKemper. How do you like that?
The Buccaneers all-decade safety leaves the team at 30 years old and can't find a job. Come on.
Anybody scoop up Deshaun Goldson? Is he still playing? He ain't 45 years old.
The Hawk went on to play when he left. The Bucks, he absolutely did.
He was a terrible Buck, and you know it is, but you got nothing to say about Deshaun Goldson. Now, come on.
If you speak to your buddy John Lynch, and if you talk to your buddy Rondé Barber, they both will tell you that the Bucks blew it by getting rid of Mark Barron. Rondé played alongside of him. Rondé mentored him as a rookie.
But I'm not gonna consider what Mark Barron did with St. Louis as part of his Buck accomplishments. Come on now, guys. You can't have it both ways.
Here we're going.
Look at this. The Kemper's got a whole list over here.
Your guards.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... The other one, not that this guy was an awful player. You picked Jeremy Zuda. Can I offer the name Davin Joseph?
You can offer the name Davin Joseph.
Who, by the way, made a Pro Bowl
this decade. But by 2013, Davin Joseph was an ex-Buccaneer.
He made a Pro Bowl this decade. He made a Pro Bowl.
He was not drafted in this decade, but he played in this decade.
Yeah, and he made a Pro Bowl in this decade.
All right, but that's a tough call.
That's a quibble.
That's a quibble,
but I would still go with Joseph because Zuda was nice, but, he was only around a couple of years, and once he never made a Pro Bowl. But here's where it gets dicey. I'm saving the best for last. Here's where it gets dicey. Will Golston, defensive end, Will Golston.
Who you got? Noah Spence?
Are you familiar with a guy by the name of Jason Pierre-Paul? Who had double-digit sacks.
I know, that killed me.
Jason.
He's having two good years.
The guy played for a cup of coffee with the Bucks over here.
Still, production. Will Golston.
Um, a man joins a team in 2008 and makes the all-decade team? I mean, 2018 and makes the all-decade
yeah,
team?
Why not?
When he gets double-digit sacks.
Will Golston's a warrior. 7 years as a Buccaneer, still learning the shackles, still making plays in the run game.
All right. Here's the litmus.
Here's another one for
here's
you.
Here's the litmus test. Now, before,
wait a minute. One more from DeKemper.
Two more from Lee. But here's the litmus test. If Will Golston only played 4 years as a Buck, would anybody have cared about him as the all-decade? Come on.
The guy serves a function. Otherwise, they would have cut his
ass. And so does JPP.
They would have cut his ass. Yeah.
They should have been cut.
All right.
Now, this is a good, really good guy. This is like the DeMar Dotson of defense. Great guy, intelligent,
Clinton
always
McDonald?
Willing to talk. Clinton McDonald.
All right.
You would pick him over Vita Vea. Now, mind you, I don't think Clinton McDonald was a starter for 2 years. Vita Vea has been a starter for 2 years. You could argue he may have been a Pro Bowl guy this year. You could argue that. I'm not saying he should have been.
I think McDonald was a starter for 2 years.
He was.
Was he? Because the last couple of years he was a part-time guy.
Yeah, he played part-time and had 5 sacks that last year when they put Chris Baker out of him. Let's throw that into the mix.
Now, here's the best of all of
Steve,
them.
Steve, didn't they put Swaggy Baker ahead of him and we couldn't figure out why Baker was playing ahead of him?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Here's the best of all of them. This is just this is a Don Rickles mic drop.
The kicker? No. All right.
Outside linebacker.
I couldn't come up with another one. I just could not come up with another one. Who am I going to pick? Darryl Smith?
Ira, are you having Alzheimer's?
Don't tell me you're going to give me Carl Nassib.
Who's leading the league in sacks?
An all-decade player who's played 14 games? Come on, DeKemper.
Okay, let's say Adam Hayward, who you picked.
Doesn't continuity count for anything with you guys?
Ira, what continuity? This guy never started more than 5 games in a year. What continuity? The only play I can remember this scrub making was when he got into a hot sideline hassle with Brian Cox.
Outstanding special teams performance.
Name a play he made.
Outstanding.
Name a play, quickly. Name a play he made. I can't think of any. And you got a guy leading the freaking league in sacks. And you picked a part-time dude? Are you kidding? Ira, when's the last time you've gone to the doctor and had a checkup? I'm worried about you.
According,
are we going to put a silver alert out for you?
Hold on. May I defend myself?
Well, there is no defense for that.
According to the Kemper's reasoning, I might suggest Shaq Barrett for the NFL All-Decade Team. Who had a better year than Shaq Barrett in the 2010s? Him and Von Miller should share the outside linebacker on this team.
Adam Hayward.
The guy's a Buccaneer for 13 weeks. Give me a break over there.
Adam Hayward.
Longevity counts. Longevity counts.
Longevity about what?
Longevity.
He never even started five games.
That's how bad it's been. I couldn't think of another Buck outside
linebacker.
Well,
you're making my argument then. Then the guy that leads the league in sacks ought to be.
I thought you were going to give me Geno Hayes for a minute over there.
That would have been better than Adam Hayward.
All right. So
Adam Hayward.
We had to smack you around on the all-decade team.
Adam Hayward.
I stunned you with that all-decade column.
I sat down. Oh, Ira's got my all-decade team here. Interesting.
Yeah, a lot of fans said outstanding picks, Kaufman.
I'll get a sandwich and read this.
Those the ones that beat you up in tennis?
I hope the sandwich backed up on you too.
I started choking. All right, look, a couple of interesting developments.
This has been one whale of a podcast, gentlemen.
Interesting developments. Derek Brooks, NFL Network, throwing up information.
I saw his name on the screen today. Derek Brooks courting front office jobs in the NFL. I do a show with Brooks every week. He hasn't mentioned anything to me. I reached out for him. He was very noncommittal. Didn't deny it.
So explain
who was making that report?
Explain that error.
I don't know. I think it was on NFL Network.
Well, would it have been Rappaport or?
I don't know. It was just the thing on
Steve
the screen.
Steve Weiss? Okay.
I'm not sure anybody was talking.
So on the scroll.
I was going to ask you to clarify. So what you saw was that he is courting jobs or he's being courted?
He's being courted. I'll say this. It could be a ploy. I don't know. It could be a ploy from Brooks's agent to try to drum up interest. These things happen. Happens with players all the time. I don't know that for a fact. You guys know very well that I have written several columns and mentioned on the podcast how the Bucks would be remiss if they don't find a place for Derek Brooks. Now, Lee, before you jump on me of Adam Hayward revisited over here, I never said they should make Derek Brooks the general manager of the Tampa Bay Bucks. I never said that.
Oh, you didn't?
I never said that. I said find a place for him. Find a place. They don't have a team president.
They don't need one.
They don't need one? All right. Some teams have one.
Yeah, the Jaguars got rid of theirs.
He doesn't have enough experience to be the GM, but as soon as I say that, somebody will say, look what John Lynch is doing. He came out of the broadcast booth. Yeah, that's a fair point. I just think that if used properly in the proper context, Derek Brooks adds credibility to an organization that needs credibility in the marketplace, local marketplace, and they need it nationally. And if you add somebody like that, you know, Roger Goodell loves Derek Brooks. He's working for the NFL.
How could you not?
The Hall of Fame, David Baker, he loves Derek Brooks. Wants him to be very much, very, very active in the Hall of Fame, and Brooks wants to do it.
I'm not sure I'd
want... He's not good enough for the Buck organization. He's not good enough. I don't get it. I don't get it. Find a place for him.
Well, look, do we know what's really gone on behind the scenes?
No.
Do we know if they maybe offered him X and he said, I want Y?
I don't know the details.
Now, I will say that you contacted Mr. Brooks before this podcast to get his comment on the NFL Network.
I told him we would be discussing it, yeah.
And he told you that he'll be telling you when the time is right.
He said, right now, there's nothing to report. That's what he said.
Yeah, so that was not a denial. That was not, don't mention it, Kaufman, it's BS.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's going out on a limb to say Derek Brooks would be interested in working for an NFL organization, you know. And I'm hoping it's the local organization. We'll see. We'll see.
Could you imagine if he landed in Carolina?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that?
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Or Atlanta. And Lee brings up a good point with his family situation. You know, would he want to relocate? Yeah.
With his son playing for Florida State, and he's always up there, he's heavily involved, I would think after his son graduates, maybe that's when Brooks decides, okay, I'm going to...
He's a busy man. He's got a lot of things going on. I'll tell you
now,
that.
Now, here's one. You know, Steve brings up an interesting point about Carolina because it looks like they're having a house cleaning of sorts. David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, is a big analytics guy. Mostly vulture capitalists are.
I'd say Marty Herney's very vulnerable right now.
He's not. That's the thing.
Yeah, they want a guy that works with him or over him or something. Evidently, Herney sounds like he's safe.
So they want a cap guy or they want...
They want an analytics guy. And I didn't know if Brooks is into the numbers or not. Is he one of those guys?
I wouldn't say that's his forte. No, I would not say that.
Well, Tepper came out and said, Marty Herney's one of the best evaluators around. I want somebody to work with him, alongside him. And the speculation was Tepper's in his 60s. We'd like to bring in a younger guy to groom.
You mean Herney.
Sorry. Yeah. Herney's in his 60s. We'd like a younger guy to sort of come in and groom for the job one day and work alongside him and complement each other. You know, I could see Brooks going up there. Which would be just fascinating. But I think the connection of Warrick Dunn as a part owner in Atlanta and the ties and the knowledge of Brooks there and what's going on and who knows who they might keep out of Quinn's staff if the Falcons finish
well. There's very few people around this league that are more respected than Derek Brooks. You guys know that.
Dunn would be one, probably.
You guys know that. I mean, he just adds he adds a lot of luster. Anything
he makes that Tampa 2 show would be terrible without him.
Well, I'm smart enough to know that he should do most of the talking, and that's the way it is.
How many times?
And it's not easy for the sage to take a back seat. You guys know that. I'm certainly not going to take it on this podcast to YouTube bozos. This guy's arguing with me about a player who's played for the Bucks for less than 1 year should be on the All-Decade team.
Adam.
Oh, my goodness over there.
You're constantly grabbing Brooks' arm on the show. You're always touching him. You're touching the guy.
But
he doesn't like that.
We're not doing it. You're right. You're right. It's one of my peccadillos. I got a lot of peccadillos.
Adam Hayward's another one.
Can we wrap up this award-winning podcast? By the way, am I out of the top 50, Steve? You haven't been mentioning anything.
I know. It's too much politics in the country right now with the debates. The political podcast resurgent.
Do I have to get political on this show
No, you just have to recant about Adam Hayward.
Do I have to talk about Adam Schiff? Do I have to talk about Adam Schiff and Lindsey Graham on this podcast? No, I'm not going to do it.
All right,
recant, Ira. Recant.
Sage, all right, a couple of things before we hit the door here.
Adam Hayward's driving you crazy over there, Lee. All
right. When the only thing you can remember the guy for is getting into a wrestling match with this.
All right, so
an hour and a half podcast over there.
It's not even close to that. Not even close. All right, Ira. So
what's the matter? Your pasta's cold?
All right, Sage. Before we head out of here, your final broader thoughts on this game and the meaning of this game, because a lot of Bucks fans, they're waking up this morning on a Sunday trying to figure out what they should think and make of all this. What should they be thinking this morning?
Buy another 8-pack of Ramosa.
I think if the Texans came in here and won 23-20, because they converted 9 of 14 third downs and ran up about 374 yards against the Buck defense. And Winston had a decent day but came up a little short. I think I'd feel a lot different about this game. The way I do feel about this game is the Bucs never gave themselves a chance to win because Winston never gave them a chance. Yeah, they tied it at 17-17, but he was off all game. And coming off the previous two games, the 450-plus and the 450-plus, and yeah, he threw a pick against Detroit early, but he played so well, you almost forgot about it. You know, you didn't even count about it. This game, you could never get over the fact that he was having a bad game. You know, he threw, even some of the completions were moon balls. High ball, arching balls that weren't thrown particularly well, and Perryman would make an unbelievable catch, and that tight end who nobody ever heard of caught a 30-yard pass.
McElroy.
Yeah, McElroy, you know, and not McEnroe, McElroy. And that ball was a sky ball. Looked like one of my passes in Bensonhurst when I was throwing to my brother down the sideline.
That's a great pass, Ira. Come on.
Come on. What are you talking about? It just dredges up all the old stuff about Winston that we thought had been put to bed but has not been put to bed. So they're 7-8. Who knows if they're going to beat Atlanta. We could be looking at a 7-9 finish. But in the words of Steve Isbitz, all is good. All is fun. 7-9 is fantastic, tremendous progress, and bring on 2020 because we've turned the corner. Isbitz, you got to get a new rap because that one ain't working to me. 7-9, I'm not interested. I give you the Archie Bunker raspberry.
Do I detect cynicism there, Ira?
I'm not happy with 7-9. It's not good enough. Not nearly good enough.
If you were a fan that went to the game today, you know, you spent your hard-earned dollars. And you see what Winston did.
You mean one of the 12,000? Yeah, go ahead.
you spent your hard-earned dollars. And you see what Winston did in the first quarter. Do you think you were robbed?
I think you said, yeah, you never gave us a chance. You never gave. I said Winston owed the rest of the team an apology today. I'm sticking with it. He was that bad.
All right, Ira, your Buffalo Wild Wings World Tour wrapped up. It's done. No more road games in case anyone was wanting to see you. If they want to hug you, they have to come to Bill Curry Ford on Thursday, 11:30 to 1. A chance to talk to Ira and get on the podcast. It'll be edited for broadcast, but you can ask Ira questions about the future of the Bucks. Bill Curry Ford, Del Mabry Highway, just north of the stadium on the east side. Easy to get to. Just walk right in. You won't miss Ira.
And, free eats.
Free eats. security for Ira, which is always important.
That goes along with the hugs.
Exactly. And that will be a good time day after Christmas. Now, Ira, about the Buffalo Wild Wings World Tour, favorite moment, favorite thoughts, and are you looking forward to something like this next year where you can get out there with the people?
I am, but may I make a suggestion? He's sending me all over the world. You know, I'm going to Sarasota, I'm going to Bradenton. I got a Buffalo Wild Wings about 3 miles from my house. I can fall out of bed and hit it. I never went there, DeKemper. Never went there with all the great schmoozing that Isbitz did to set this thing up, which put money in my pocket, so I got to give Steve credit. But of all the Wild Wings, I don't go to the one closest to me. Next year, I think I might go to Orlando or something if Isbitz has his way.
What do you want him to do, start closing down their shops in Sarasota?
I met a lot of good Buck fans, and we had a lot of good turnouts. Sarasota was packed.
Is that right?
Last one, yeah, packed.
And Zach went down there.
And Zach, the crazy intern, went down with his younger brother and his girlfriend, and he was playing her in fantasy football, and it was great to see those two fighting each other. And the poor brother had Le'Veon Bell, and he's screaming about Le'Veon Bell. I'm screaming about that he's stupid for drafting the kid. But anyway, it was it was a lot of fun. And, of course, Ozzy, crazy Ozzy, who's now on the website. Steve, is Ozzy on the website?
Well, he does his podcast. Glad you've been paying attention, Ira. Ozzy's done probably 10 podcasts or so. Ira, as you finish out the Buffalo Wild Wings campaign.
And I got to give out a Shaq Barrett a jersey. That was fun.
Was Doug Fernandez down there?
No, no. Doug was out of town.
Of course, you can find your nearest Buffalo Wild Wings at buffalowildwings.com. And they got all the games for the playoffs. Ira doesn't have to be there for you to hang out there and have a good time. Now, Ira, we are going to be letting you know as some special interesting things about your world tour and how that might change next year. But I just want to say for the record, Buffalo Wild Wings picked the locations, Ira, not me. Of course, I would have kept you closer to home a couple of times.
He's always got an answer. You notice that?
Well, do you really think I picked the locations?
You notice he's always got an answer.
Hey, Buffalo Wild Wings, I'm telling you where I was Ira's going. No, they told me where you were going. So that's just, they didn't want you in your hometown.
I'll tell you where I'm going next month. Canton, Ohio. That's where I'm going.
In January.
And we're I'm part of this blue ribbon. And in the words of in the words of Chris Mad Dog Russo, a dopey committee. But there's only 25 people, and John McClain's on it. John McClain's on it. And there's only like 10 riders on this thing. Anyway, we're going to be the ones next month that pick 10 seniors, 3 contributors, and 2 coaches to get on the hall. And speaking of coaches, I'm warming up to the idea of Jimmy Johnson. I don't know what our listeners think of Jimmy Johnson. He didn't coach
warming
for very
up.
Long. I'm warming up.
He's
not in the hall. Do you want him in or you don't want
that's
him?
That's like saying warming up to Bill Walsh.
He's
what?
A fantastic choice.
He's got 80 wins. It's
so?
Not a lot.
So?
Most guys have double that. Double. But I'm looking at Jimmy Johnson.
But I'm thinking of it. You got an issue with Tom Flores, too. Even though he got.
I have an issue with Tom
and
Flores.
And your issue is what he did with Seattle, right?
Disaster with Seattle. Can't have a coach with a disaster.
Now, you know I'm not trying to be Chris Russo here. But even though it sounds like I'm Chris Russo. When you got Marv Levy in, did anybody factor in his Kansas City days?
I was not on the panel when Levy got in. I was not part of it.
You weren't in the room, in other words.
I wasn't in the room.
So, I mean, it's just, to
man,
me.
Man went to 4 straight Super Bowls. I mean, that's tough. It's never been done.
Ask the Buffalo. Ask the Buffalo people. What would they rather have? 2 Super Bowl wins?
Believe,
or
no,
4
you know,
Super Bowl
only
appearances?
One out of those 4 years, I think you could argue he had the better team the first year against the Giants.
I'm not saying he's a bad team. Coach, but I just can't. I just don't understand how, for example, Tony Dungy got in for Jimmy Johnson. Anybody in their right mind, who would you rather have for a coach, Jimmy Johnson or Tony Dungy?
All right, I'll take Levy out of the hall as long as you put Adam Haywood back on your all-decade.
Levy can stay in the hall.
All right, Sage, get out of here.